Hi, I'm Michelle Blue.
I'm a millennial entrepreneur and started a business just 2 weeks after graduating college.
It's my life and I don't even know.
Okay. Each week, I'm interviewing an entrepreneur, getting a real look at their stories.
The reason why it was challenging because there is no set path for entrepreneurship.
At the lessons, the sacrifices along their journey.
And leadership is hard, and you have to live at home, and entrepreneurship is not easy.
So, for the fellow entrepreneur, hopeful entrepreneur, or whatever path you decided to take in life, just know that the beauty lies within the journey.
She was like, oh, you need to check this out. And she was like, it's a new, like, city club coming to Atlanta. It's these young guys that are doing, like, big things, like, big dreams. She was like, you need to get connected, right? So I went to your first event. It was, like, at the Braves Stadium, like, preview, which was cool. And I just, yeah, I saw the pictures. Like, it was cool. It sounded good. And then when y'all opened, I was like, oh, shoot. Like, this is massive. Like, so I'm completely, like, amazed of how you've been able to do this. So give us the rundown of what is the Gathering Spot and how you were able to do this.
So Gathering Spot's a private membership club at our core. So there's three parts of the space. Event space, where we're hosting everything at this point. You'll see music performances all the way down to panels and lectures and cocktail parties. It just kind of depends on the day.
I actually watched the election, watch night at the Gathering Spot.
Yeah. No, there's something, I mean, we're programming at this point a couple of times a day in the room, which is makes the space exciting. We've got a decent amount of co-working space, so our members can come and work in private offices or on workstations or conference rooms. And then we have a full restaurant bar, so breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. Members can come and have meetings, but also just kind of come in.
Have food.
Yeah.
Food is
good. It's really important for us.
Okay, so like I said, when I walked in the space, I don't not to downplay you or anything, so take no offense, but I was like thinking of something just so much smaller, and I walk in and it's a massive space. How many like square feet?
It's 25,000 square feet.
25,000 square feet, like downtown Atlanta. Right, it's beautifully decorated, like interior design. Like, this is like legitimate, like as legitimate as it comes, right? So I'm like, where the heck did y'all get the money? Like, so where did the money come from to even do this?
So we worked with an awesome design team, worked with this group called Kinsler, and they've got design some of the best spaces in the world. But around 3 years ago, we went to them and we were like, hey, got this idea. It's going to be this cool place. We didn't really even have a name for what it was going to be called. And they were like, okay, yeah, you know, come back to us.
And you were how old at this time?
I was 23 at the time.
Okay.
And so, I walked into their office. And I'm like, hey, look, I need some designers. I don't necessarily know everything that you can do, but like, this seems like a good place to make it happen. And they believed in the concept. Mm-hmm. We've got a really visual project. So like, when you describe it, it's, you know, people are like, okay, get it.
Right, good,
you have
cool.
to see it though for to really like understand what we're doing.
For sure.
And Gensler did a really good job of bringing what was an idea to life. So we found a building, and raising cash was the hardest thing that I've ever. It was
cash money. Where did the money come from?
So funny enough, all of our investors are local. Yeah. I mean, we weren't VC backed in this first round. It was all family offices and high net worth folks in Atlanta that I believed and invested. Ended up raising right at $3 million for the whole deal. And yeah,
23.
I'm 24 when the first check is cut. So the first check was smaller, and that was the hard part about the entire thing. Like, you really just need to get to like your first yes. Mm-hmm. So we got that first yes. I was 24. At that point, we still didn't have a building, so I was just kind of like talking purely about, I mean, even the event that you went to, we didn't have a space yet, so we were hosting events.
That's probably why I can't visualize it, because there was nothing to look at. Okay.
No, so we were hosting events at other spaces, talking about the concept to get people used to the idea, but we didn't have a building. Initially, we thought it was going to be $1 million raise, and so I'm at 24, that was the only number that I was focused on, a million, a million, a million.
and a million is a big
that
number.
That was a big, it was a big number like, for us, no small but feat. As we kept thinking about other things we wanted to be in the club,
yeah.
that number kept, just kept going up. So right. a million and a half raise, and it was a 2 million raise.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of times where we felt like, okay, look, let's just do a $2 million version of this thing, and then later we'll come back and put another million in it.
Drop another million.
And I don't know, we just, it didn't feel right. I mean, we wanted the concept to be everything that we were kind of thinking about at that time.
Yeah.
As, like, as good as it could be. Yeah. So we just kept moving the number up, and we're fortunate that we continue to be able to find investors yeah. that would fuel it.
I mean, I love that you wouldn't let, like, the financial constraints, like, limit your thinking and what you felt like you could yeah. do, right?
I think that's the biggest thing. Like, you talk to entrepreneurs now.
Yeah.
I mean, raising capital and, I mean, cash flow, that's the lifeline of any business. But so many entrepreneurs get stuck on, like, okay, I'm just going to do, like, a miniature version of this, and then I'll add to it. And it's just hard. I mean, like, our belief is set a target for, like, the best possible version of your idea,
yeah.
and then raise to that number rather than, like, because it's hard to be competitive.
What is it? Let's shoot for the moon. Stars.
Yeah,
I mean, that was like on everybody's elementary yep. like law, but it's so true.
It's a huge mental leap, but if you can accomplish it, it allows you to compete in ways that if you just sort of like, I don't know, I mean, small versions of ideas
yeah.
sometimes grow to be big things, but a lot of times stay small. And so we were scared of that and just kept trying to. We were at that point. I was living in D.C. and we just come back to Atlanta on the weekends. Like, hey, we need to try to find another half a million.
Yeah.
And just kept going.
No, I love that y'all went into this with like no limits. Was really like, you know, driving you through all of this for sure. Yeah. Very cool. Like I said, I'm in love with the space, and I think it's now become like such a center for like all the cool people. Which is probably why I can't remember. It's like all the cool people are flocking to the gathering spot right now
yeah.
for all of your events and everything that y'all are cultivating. So super great. I mean, you were 23, 24 when you had this idea. We're able to raise $3 million to bring it to fruition. What was the hardest part? Like, what was like the discouraging part? The moment where you're like, nah, like I probably can't do this. Like $3 million may be too much for me to handle.
So I was a law student at the time when this was all happening, and I don't come from the event world,
yeah.
I don't come from the food and beverage world, and I don't know if there's a ton of people that come out of co-working, but I hadn't worked it or done anything in a co-working space either.
Mm-hmm.
So getting over the mental hurdle yeah. of like, I can learn these disciplines well enough, and then build a good team.
Yeah.
I could go on for days about the team is like,
the
so
people
key
that's
to everything.
For sure.
Oh, no, I mean, we knew early, like, if you look at, like, the restaurant, for example, that's a really tough business.
Yeah.
So we found resources that could help us think about how to make that part of the business successful, rather than, like, and that's tough. I mean, adding the right person at the right time, and also trusting that, like, for the things where you don't have a resource, that
yeah.
you can learn it fast enough to make a business successful.
No, I think it's so interesting because, I mean, obviously I'm in the fashion space.
Yeah.
Somewhat of a fashion background, not really, you
yeah.
know? Like, I don't know how to sew, I don't know how to draw, I don't sketch, like, I don't do any of that.
Yeah.
I don't make a website, and so it's like, well, what do I really do? But it's really
yeah.
the people around
yeah,
me that have, like, really, you know, made
absolutely.
The business what it is, you know? And none of us can do it alone.
Absolutely.
So. I think that's awesome. And I know one of my friends worked with you, and she's like a stellar part of the
super
team
awesome.
As well.
Yep.
So yeah, it definitely does take everyone in this, you know? So one thing I always say, I always ask people, who is your Virginia, right? And so that completely doesn't make sense to you now, but Virginia is my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And when I graduated college, I said I wanted to do the business. 2 weeks after I graduated, started the business full time, right? And she allowed me to move home, like, she was just that champion, right? She was the cheerleader, the everything that I needed to believe in me to go for my dreams, right? So it can be a mentor, it can be anybody, but who is the Virginia in your life?
Yeah, my dad, so we're
yeah.
similar in this respect. My dad's an entrepreneur, and I was a law student, came back, and was working actually not too far from here.
Yeah.
And
where'd you go to law school?
That's Georgetown. So I was in DC. I was, and
smart kid.
Went. I don't know. I made it.
It
happened.
You made it.
But I went. I was working at a law firm, and I came back at home, and I was like, "But I don't really like this.
Yeah.
So it's not for me. Like, I don't. I'm trying to like it. I want to make this interesting. It's not working." And he understood and was really supportive of when I started talking about moving into something that really doesn't have to do like anything to do with the law at all. Mm-hmm. And I came back, and I mean every weekend when I was coming back to Georgia from DC, I was with my parents, and they allowed us to crash. I was bringing that my co-founder, he was coming with a lot, so mm-hmm. became a part of the family. And when it came time to start looking for investors, he was really helpful in helping us kind of think about how to position the entire business.
That's awesome.
Get investment.
And I mean, this is special pair, you know, because so many people could have been like, "Oh no, like we spent the time, we spent the money."
Yep.
Like you're gonna be a lawyer. You are a lawyer, you know. Yep. And you know, he allowed you to dream, to live.
Most people are not with that.
No, like if you they're not having it at
like
all.
Graduate from law school, like become a lawyer, like full time practicing attorney. And I mean, I was going rogue at that point, and nobody, I mean, in law school, even thought I was crazy. Like, why would you?
For sure.
Why would you do this and then leave and not actually practice? So no, I mean, yeah, Mike Virginia is definitely my dad. My Mark.
Is your dad? Your Virginia is Mark. I love it. But no, that's super cool. And I would say, like, to thine self be true, you know? Like, don't get caught up in, like, the time invested and if it's inconvenient at the time. Like, you really have to be true to yourself. But you have to live with yourself. Like, no one else is going to wake up to your life, you know, being a lawyer, having to go into work, like, and be miserable.
You only have one life. Like, so I just don't believe in wasting it at all. I mean, I'm with you. If you have a thing that you want to do, do it.
Yeah.
I mean, especially while you're young. I mean, that was the other thing. Yeah, we were 23 and didn't have experience, but we were also 23, 24.
Right.
And didn't really have.
To lose. Like, I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. If I fail, it's just me. I can eat ramen. I don't want to eat ramen. If I have to eat ramen, I will. You know?
No responsibilities. Yeah. I mean, at that point, I had an apartment in D.C. that I knew I was leaving.
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean, there was no other anything, and so if there was a time to take a shot, I actually think it's kind of sooner the better.
Yeah, I mean,
as you go on, you hear this from people all the time, and this is like one of the things that I'm probably the most afraid of, looking back on life and being like, man, I should have done that when I was in my 20s.
That scares me. Yeah, that scares the heck out of me.
Like, it's that if there's one thing that I'm just, like, so scared of.
Yeah.
I don't want to look back and be like, wow, I should have tried 5 years ago.
I'm with you. 100%. No, so like I said, I'm in love with what you and your co-founder have been able to build. Like, that's awesome. And I think Atlanta is taking notice of what y'all are doing. So all eyes are on the gathering spot right now. So it's super cool. You all, like, you have like over 500 members in within like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, like I said, I commend you in whatever entrepreneurial hustle, you know, like you're on, your journey. But you know, I have to ask. Like I said, music motivates me, you know, like that's what gets me going. What's your hustle, like getting you in the mindset? So what's the music lyric that's like, oh shoot, I'm ready, like whatever the day, whatever life is about to bring me, I'm going to kill it. What is that?
So I'm a huge Jay-Z fan, like a really big Jay-Z fan.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I should be saying hopefully right now. But this is like a really small Kendrick Lamar line.
Yeah.
But he says on one of the untitled tracks, it's like a small snippet, but he's like, level two, I'm not done. And like, when I hear that, again, it's like so small.
Yeah.
But that's how I approach when I'm like trying to get ready for the day. It's like,
level two.
Like I'm not like, there's this, we're not, like there's another level that we want
to
reach as a business. And that's what our team is working on every day. It's like the gathering,
cool.
the version one is like is here.
Yeah.
But we're like on some other
like we're
stuff.
On a whole
different level, real soon. And so, I don't know if I've even shared that with anybody before. I listened to that, like, that
like,
one lyric all the time.
I'm getting, like, these real intimate,
Jay,
like, moments with Ryan. Cool, thanks.
Jay has some lyrics. Jay actually said something on Twitter years ago.
Yeah.
When I would never forget this. They were like, hey, someone tweeted, I don't know, hey, what's your best advice about being an entrepreneur? And he said, don't listen to anyone, everyone is scared. And I, like, saved, screenshotted, like sent it to people.
On my wall type of situation.
Because it's so true. Yeah. Like when you're building a business, there's so many people who are like, oh, that won't work, don't do that. Are you sure about that? And having someone just like firm, like at a certain point, when you have like an idea, like really, really strong vision, you gotta box people out. And just, like, a lot of times they're gonna try to put their fears about your failure on you.
Right.
And so you gotta like just like,
nah, I'm good.
Yeah. So good. I listen to a lot of music to try.
Very cool. Get you going, for sure. So thank you, Kendrick. Thank you, Hope.
Oh yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
For the inspiration.
For the.
And again, I know there's so many things next level for the gathering spot for whatever you all have, you know, coming.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Thank you.
Thank you.
For taking the time to talk to me.
No, this was exciting.